Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Grecian's Gossip. Joining me today to look back at a successful pre-season is Stuart James. Good morning.
Hi, Jack.
And Jamie Hawkins. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
So yeah, pre-season's now well and truly over. We're looking forward to the first game this weekend. But first of all, how do you think pre-season's gone as a whole?
Well, I haven't had the chance to watch any games yet. I've just been going off sort of live coverage and watching the goals back. But yeah, it seems very promising. Obviously didn't lose a game. I think, you know, obviously I wasn't there, you were there, Jack, but the Bristol Rovers performance sounded pretty good. Obviously Boateng scored another stunning goal. He's become a habit of doing that now lately. So yeah, it's looked pretty good. Obviously you can't read much into results in pre-season. I remember, I think Exeter won all of their pre-season games a couple of years ago, and that was the season they were bottom of the league.
Yeah. I remember years ago as well against Chelsea, beating Chelsea 2-1 in pre-season, everyone thinking, oh, this is going to be the year we go up, and we obviously didn't, and ended up, you know, another sort of season of struggle really. But as you say, you can't really tell too much, can you?
No, it's just all about, you know, getting fitness levels back up and running.
And for a new manager to get used to the team as well.
Absolutely.
It's even more important in that
way. And giving his new players a good run out as well, and from what I've heard, it's all sounding pretty promising. Obviously Matt Taylor's come across pretty well. I think we can all, you know, agree with that. He's made it clear the areas he wants to strengthen. Mm-hmm. You know, he keeps saying, I want a defender, he wants an attacking player. Sounds like, you know, there could be more transfer activity. Yeah, of course, there's only, what, a week left now of the transfer window. So, for me, it all sounds very promising, and yeah, just can't wait to Saturday now.
How glad were you, Stu, when you saw that they had got set up this Bristol Rovers fixture? Because before that, they were playing the likes of Bath and Weymouth. No disrespect, but you sort of want a bigger test before the season starts, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it was a legacy of Paul Tisdale, really. Something Tis had done before was just play local non-league teams. So I was quite pleased to see that, because I do think you need... Tis, to be fair, has had that game a week before the season started, which he has always tried to treat as a League Two fixture. And I was pleased to see that Matt got that game, because, as you say, looking at the schedule before that game was arranged, the opposition looked particularly weak. And, you know, as we say, you can't really read too much into those results. Even the 4-0 win against Rovers, you know, it was a good win, great for confidence and things like that. But sometimes I think you just want a bad result to highlight some of your flaws and areas where you need to work on in pre-season. You know, sometimes they can perhaps go a little undetected, and you go into a new season and there are maybe one or two issues there. That's looking at it in a negative, from a sort of negative perspective, though. You can't really fault with the results they've had. I just think that wins, especially a 4-0 win against a team like Bristol Rovers, can only breed confidence, really.
And speaking after that game, Matt said if he was in the position next year where he's still manager, then he would like to have more troublesome teams to play against next pre-season.
Well, certainly at home, you know, City fans haven't had any good pre-season games at home for a long time, really. A lot of that, you know, they said was because of the facilities. You couldn't get X amount of players into those small changing rooms in the old grandstand.
But where do you stand on the Premier League coming to? And, you know, for example, I've seen games before where Premier League teams come in a pre-season and your team's never really got the ball much. And is that really worth it?
I think it is from a fitness point of view, because if you haven't got the ball, you've got to do a lot of running. So from a fitness point of view, I think it's quite good. But that's why those games tend to be early on in pre-season for sort of lower league teams.
I think as well, we played Spurs a few years ago now, and that was Harry Redknapp team, because he used to like bringing teams down here, and that was a sellout crowd. It brings in the money, you know. He played a really strong team as well. So
seems to be increasingly hard though for League Two teams to attract these Premier League teams to make the money.
The problem is, you know, that you've got these Premier League international cups these days, and you know the Premier League is taking its brand all over the world to sell it to people, and they almost forget people on their own doorstep, people down here, for example, that don't get to see Premier League teams play very often. So I would like to see the Premier League address that and insist that every Premier League team has to go out and play a League Two team at some stage in a pre-season, just because, as Jamie said, you know, clubs can make money from it.
But I mean, looking back at that 4-0 win over Bristol Rovers, I mean, some of the things that I know, I was covering the game, some of the things I noticed was Boateng and Stockley physically is where Bristol Rovers really struggled to cope with them. I mean, Stockley obviously didn't score that game, but he was a handful for defenders. He wrapped up two centre backs quite a lot, which gave space to other players, and Boateng the same, and they seem to work very well together. Is that something you've noticed before under Tisdale in the last few months of the campaign?
Yeah, Stockley, I think he's definitely got a reputation of, you know, getting stuck in there. I think he had a bloody nose as well, didn't he?
Yeah,
at one point he's had that a few times last season. So he he just doesn't care really, he just gets stuck in. He's proper, I guess, an old fashioned striker, big guy, absolutely horrible to play against. Defenders would hate to play against, so I would, I think, if I was a centre back. When you see him coming, he's a big guy. And Boateng as well, he was arguably Exeter City's best player last season, or one of them, definitely. You know, he just had that ability to pick the ball up and drive City forward, whereas, you know, he had some midfielders like Jordan Tilson or Lloyd James who were quite sort of, you know, conservative sideways in a way, and whereas Boateng, you know, bring players forward and get the attack going. And obviously, as you saw at Bristol Rovers, he's got an absolute, you know, stunning goal in his locker as well. Yeah. So, yeah, him and Stockley are going to be, you know, Exeter's two key players this season.
And credit to Exeter for that. I mean, he was never an attacking player previously. I mean, Tisdale, his staff seems to have got that out of him. Taylor seems to want to carry that on going into the season.
I think it's just, taking the shackles off him, really. Because as Jamie said, Jordan Tilson's been playing centre midfield as well, and he gives you that defensive stability and allows the likes of Boateng to get forward and make those runs from midfield. I mean, as you say, he's got that goal in his locker, and the one against Lincoln was an absolute blinder, you know, one of the goals of the season last year. And I just think that's the one thing City fans will want to see more of, is more of those goals from Boateng, because he's got it in him. But I think that was one or two goals that he scored last season. Mm. So,
does he tend to, one of the people that were interviewing Matt Taylor afterwards said, when Boateng scores, they seem to be screamers. Does he doesn't tend to score a tap in then?
No. I mean, he hit the post in the woodwork a few times last season. I remember that. But he's not a tap in. It's those sort of left foot curlers from 25 yards.
The ones that get fans well and truly on their feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the other thing I noticed about Stockley that was great is, I mean, defensively, when they're dealing with corners, he seems to get to the ball first every single time. I think Bristol Rovers must have had, off top, like 8-9 corners, and I think Stockley got on to 7 or 8 of them. I mean, it's just incredible.
It's something I remember Steve Flack was really good at years ago. He always used to come back for corners and he'd just basically not mark anyone, but just go and attack the ball and head it clear. And it seems that Stockley's doing that as well now.
We talk about pre-season, how it's important to develop relationships. Now, Troy Brown and obviously Aaron Martin, who's come in this season, they seem to have developed quite a strong partnership. They've not conceded a lot of goals in pre-season. Obviously, they might be tested a bit more when league football starts, as Matt Taylor alluded to after the game. But do you think they'll be the centre-back pairing at the start of the season?
Yeah, I don't think Taylor will move too far away from the team that started up at Bristol Rovers for the game against Carlisle. Brown and Martin will probably be his first choice partnership. The question mark is just going to be whether they can stay fit, because obviously both players have had injury issues in the last couple of years. If they can stay fit, they look pretty decent. I mean, Jack, you were the one that was up at Bristol Rovers.
Bristol Rovers didn't seem to be able to get a shot on target. I think that was largely because of the pressure that the defence were putting onto them. You know, there were snapshots, and now, again, we've all said it's hard to judge in pre-season, isn't it? Because, you know, when there's 3 points on the line, teams can play differently, but you can't sniff at a 4-0 defeat, whether it's pre-season or not. That was an embarrassment for Bristol Rovers and a great result for Exeter, but they seem to know what they're doing. They seem to have developed a relationship very closely already, and that's a testament to, I think, Taylor and his staff for what they've done in pre-season.
Yeah, I think the question is going to be the depth of the centre-back department. You know, you look at Brown and Martin, then you've got Luke Kroll, and then after that you're sort of scratching around trying to find someone else. So
And all of them have, you know, as you said, issues with injuries as well.
Spoke to Matt Taylor last week, didn't you, and he said he was looking to bring in hopefully another defender.
Yeah, he said he wants to bring in another centre back, whether it be permanently or on loan, so obviously keep your eyes out over the next week. But, you know, I think there was a lot of, I don't know, not negativity, but when Jordan Story left, and then Jordan Moore Taylor, captain as well, they, you know, left a big hole, because they formed a pretty strong partnership towards the end of last season. And, you know, you're looking around at defenders, and obviously had Troy Brown, but he missed quite a lot of last season. You know, he brings in Aaron Martin, who looks a really, really good signing, but obviously he's got issues with fitness as well. So like Stu says, I still think, you know, that does need a little bit of work.
Of course, there is the loan market after next Thursday, which you can loan players up until the end of August, so that could well be an option as well. Yeah. Premier League teams have decided on their squads, won't they? So they might be more open to letting people out on loan.
I'm sure Taylor will know what he wants, because being a former centre back, of course, you know, he's probably got his eyes on one or two at the moment. I wouldn't be surprised to see another one come in, you know, over the next few days.
And goals have been spread around the team quite a lot. You've even got two defenders scoring against Bristol with Moxey as well.
Both from set pieces as well, which was quite encouraging.
Is that a positive aspect then of their game, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. It's something that Tiz always wanted, was a lot of players to sort of chip in with 10 goals. You know, he sort of didn't really ever have that 20 goal a season strike, or really. I can think of Jamie Curtin, but apart from that, not really anyone else. And Stockley last year, of course. So, yeah, it's important that all the players chip in. And every player loves scoring goals. So, you know, when you get set pieces, it's good that the defenders are scoring. It's good to see the midfielders scoring from distance. And it's good to see, you know, John Falk scoring a couple of goals. It should be good for his confidence. And Jaden's got a couple as well. So, yeah, everyone's scoring goals. It's all pretty good so far in the season.
You talked about the fact that you've got a few players that have had injury problems, which I think it's not uncommon in League 1 and League 2 to sign players that have maybe had a bit of injury, which is why they're looking for clubs in League 1 and League 2. But they've hired a strength and conditioning coach? Is that right?
Yeah, although Matt Taylor did say not to expect too much too soon. He thinks City will really get the benefit of that in about a year's time, when I think it's just a prolonged spell of working on players and their, you know, sort of individual fitness and diets and things like that, and then they'll really get the benefit in about a year's time. So it will be interesting to see what that will be like in sort of 12 months time. But it was something Matt really, really wanted, was to bring in the strength and conditioning coach, and Andrew Wiseman's come in, and as I say, time will tell really as to whether it works out or
it's
not.
It's a sign of trying to tackle a problem, isn't it? There's obviously been issues of injuries, and it's trying to do something about it.
Well, that's what I like about the Matt Taylor appointment, is that he seems to have identified little areas within the squad and within the club that he feels were not perhaps quite right under Paul Tisdale, and he's carried on what Tis has done and just put his own little stamp on it as well with appointments like Wiseman.
Which is, I think, wise when you've had a team that's been near the playoff. You don't want to make wholesale changes, do you? You just want to tap into those bits that maybe need a bit.
When you look back, those injuries cost us. You know, losing Troy Brown and Jordan Moore-Taylor last season, together they were brilliant, weren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's an interesting one about fitness and injuries, because the number of times when players would just seem to go missing for a few weeks, you know, and Tiz wouldn't really mention why. You know, obviously Harley had his issues as well, Lee Holmes. Really key players, you know, that missed large parts of last season. And in hindsight, you know, you can look back and think if they had been fit for most of last season, we'd be playing in League One now. But, you know, it's definitely a vital importance. You know, as Stu said, you know, Taylor's obviously made it clear he wants these areas strengthening. And again, it's another plus from Matt Taylor. I've had nothing but good things from him. You know, we'll have to see what his managerial credentials are like, you know, starting on Saturday. But he's said all the right things so far. He seems to have won the fans over. And yeah, like I said, I was at the training ground last week for, you know, the first time this season. It was strange, obviously, not to see, you know, Tiz there and not
Steve Perryman.
Steve Perryman, obviously, getting a hand, you know, around your shoulder. But yeah, the atmosphere was just so positive. You know, speaking to a few of the players, Jimmy Oakes, who's so impressed. You know, he's come from Hereford, but he's originally from Australia, so it must have been a bit of a culture shock. He said, not really. He felt, you know, he fitted right in straight away, and everyone's made all the new boys feel welcome. So yeah, it's good time at the moment.
Well, the weather this pre-season must have made him feel like he was at home.
Just going back to that fitness thing, though, I mean, that's again a legacy of Matt Taylor and his background. You know, he went to university and studied sports fitness and things, so he obviously knows the importance of a player being in peak physical condition.
I don't think you can underestimate these little things happening off the pitch and how much of an impact they can have on the pitch. I think it's always a good sign when these little things are happening, with whether it be hiring extra staff or all these little things, I think, do send out a very good message.
Well, you look at Exeter Chiefs, I mean, they've got a load of strength and conditioning coaches. You know, it's such an important part of rugby. It's not just rugby, but sport in general. Yeah. You know, you need to have your best players fit and playing every single week. So,
and talking about injuries, well, I mean, one player that did pick up an injury was Jonathan Fort, who has a possible broken hand. I think you're meeting Matt Taylor on Thursday afternoon. So if you're listening to this, Thursday afternoon, so you'll get an update on that, so look out on the website. But
I'm not too concerned by that. I mean, a broken hand, I'd expect him to just have some sort of cast on and be able to play through it, but
unless you're a goalkeeper.
Well, Matt Taylor did joke that, you know, it's better him getting broken hand than anywhere else.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, again, Matt Taylor was very forthcoming with that. I didn't notice that he had gone off with an injury. I just thought it was a change at half time. I know he banged his hand, but he didn't look to be struggling too much.
How did it happen? Did you see what happened?
He just had a clash, just bashed it, and he was holding it for a little bit, but then just seemed to play on. Went off at half time, and, you know, in pre season, you just think it's just, I want to give someone else some. I think Matt Jay came on, I want to give him some game time, and then, Taylor just gave that information out, and we were sort of caught off guard by it. But I'm sure we'll get an update on that.
You mentioned Matt Jay there. I think it's going to be a big season for him as well. You know, he's had a good pre-season with 4 or 5 goals. Mm. You know, he's kind of been in and out of the first team, certainly towards the end of last season, and he's looked pretty good in pre-season. So I think this could be the year Matt really kicks on and breaks into the first team.
You happy with the four? Are you guys the four strikers? So you've got your
yeah
the two new additions, Matt Jay and Stockley. Happy with that? Is that enough depth, do you think?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's a couple of youngsters in the squad as well. But, yeah, the good thing with Stockley is that he does tend to play every single game, you know, touch wood. That's the,
when he gets injured on Saturday, we know who to blame now.
There's a chance he could miss Saturday, of course, because his partner's pregnant and expecting their baby on Saturday. So
she live down here?
They've got a house down here, I believe, so...
At least he doesn't have to travel back up to, I don't know, Scotland or Norwich or somewhere.
He's not going to do an Anthony Martial and just stay in Paris for a couple of weeks. I think the striking department looks quite strong. Certainly compared to last year, I think it's a lot better than last year. You know, they were just, apart from Stockley, there were no goals there.
It's good to have that option.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously, he didn't seem happy with it. Times when he'd be playing up on his own. I think we mentioned before, he'd win the ball and there'd be no one within sort of 10 yards of him. Whereas, you know, you've got Matt Jay who will make those runs. He just runs his socks off all game. He can run onto the flick-ons and everything. Then you've got Fort as well, plenty of experience in this division as well. And Abrahams as well, of course, the youngster.
He was very impressive in the first half against Weymouth. I think he just looked like he could run for days on end. Yeah, he's just so much pace, which could complement the other styles of play from the other strikers.
Yeah,
I mean, just
you saw the Rovers game, Jack. What did you make of the partnership of Stockley and Ford? Did they work well together?
Ford wasn't overly in the game that much, but when he was, he had two great. I mean, just before he scored it, about 8 minutes before he scored his goal, there was a situation where Stockley was holding off the two centre backs for Bristol Rovers. The ball bounced over all three of them. Stockley sort of fell backwards into them. They were all sort of in a heap, caught up with one another. Sam Slocum, the Bristol Rovers goalkeeper, ran out to try and get the ball, but Fort ran onto it, beat Slocum, chipped it over him, and it bounced just wide. So he seems to be very good at instinctive
playing off.
But apart from that, he wasn't overly noticeable, to be honest. But the times he was, he looked quite deadly or dangerous. So it'll be interesting to see how he does and whether he's picked over Abrahams, because I thought Abrahams were fantastic against Weymouth, which obviously, granted, is a bit of a step down in... opposition, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I liked him against Truro. When I saw him at Truro, he just reminded me of like a Marcus Rashford type of player.
It's good to have different types, isn't it? You don't want four of the same type of striker, you know. But I mean, going back to that Bristol Rovers game, just one last point. I mean, we said that you can't take too much into pre-season, but for confidence-wise, I mean, that's good. I'd much rather see a team go into the first league game after a win like that rather than Rovers having such a defeat.
Well, I think certainly this late in pre-season as well, to get a result like that is really good, because as I say, I think they treated it as a proper league game. So to come away with a 4-0 win, Matt said it probably wasn't a 4-0 sort of game, but
how many games do finish like should, you know? It doesn't happen too often, does it?
It's encouraging.
Serkan wasn't one to enjoy the game. I don't think a lot of the Exeter fans were giving him a few cheers asking what the score was during the game.
Yeah,
I think Bristol Rovers fans though, after the game, they're pretty worried going into the season.
Yeah.
I guess you would be, to lose 4-0 at home to a side below you. You know, it's...
Well, I think that's the thing. When you look at this Exeter team, there are a lot of players there that are at least League One Championship quality. You know, we spoke about Stockley and Boateng. You can see both of those playing much higher. Pim's obviously attracting a lot of interest. You know, I do think there's a lot of quality in that Exeter team. It's just keeping them all fit.
Mm. And that'll be the conundrum going into the Carlisle game. So looking ahead to Carlisle... A bit of history over recent years. The playoff semi-finals between the two teams, there often looks to be a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the game starting, Jamie?
Yeah, can't wait now. Obviously, it's always good to... You want to start at home, don't you? You know, big crowd. You know, just to get the ball rolling. Obviously, you know, I said don't read too much into the results, but as we said, Bristol Rovers last week just really sets a bit of a statement out, I think, to the other clubs. Yeah, I just can't wait now. Obviously, you know, it's all looking good. You know, you've got the new stand coming on. It looks almost done. Looks great. The away end will be done soon as well. Looks like nearly a sellout crowd. I don't know there's only two stands, but it's still going to be a good atmosphere. Matt Taylor will get a great reception, as he should. And, you know, it'd be great to see, you know, all the new players, because I haven't had the chance to see Exeter play, you know, at all in pre-season with... You know, no home games, no home friendlies. So I haven't really had a chance to look at how the team's shaping up. So it'll be interesting for that more than anything. You know, it's still going to be too early to read much into it. You know, you need a few games under your belt before you start looking into where the team's going to finish, how well they're going to do. But Carlo, I'm sure they'll probably be pleased to get this game out of the way, the longest trip of the season. It's going to be exciting.
Is there a feel-good factor around the place? I mean, despite two I mean, you know, losing once in the playoff final is tough. To do it 2 years in a row is even tougher. But is it, I mean, like you said, with the stand coming on, is there a feel-good factor around the club at the moment?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even when you go to the club, you know, they're giving it a fresh lick of paint. The old stands where the red stanchions were fading, you know, they've been repainted. Everything looks really bright and, you know, pre-season's gone really well. There's all the changes that have happened just seem to have freshened everything up, you know. It's really bizarre because Paul Tisdale was, in my opinion, the greatest manager the club's ever had. And yet, you know, we're going into this new season now and there's this real huge feeling of optimism and everyone really looking forward to a new season.
Has that surprised you a bit then?
It hasn't surprised me because of who it is. I mean, Matt Taylor was a massively popular player, you know. He's a two-time player of the year, you know, scored some crucial goals and was a real fan's favourite. So the fact that he has been so warmly received by the City fans hasn't surprised me at all. If it had been someone coming in from the outside that was more of an unknown, it perhaps would have been a different feel. But, you know, again, the whole Paul Tisdale situation was strange because the fan base was so divided as to who wanted him to stay and who wanted him to go. It just feels like the club is really united now and behind Matt Taylor, and everyone's just really looking forward to the season starting.
And there's going to be a generation of fans that have never seen an Exeter City
without Tisdale.
Yeah, it's kind of almost like, you know, with Wenger and Fergie as well. It's just going into the unknown, no idea what's going to happen.
But sometimes change can breed excitement, can't it?
So yeah, well, I think that's what it's done. It has brought excitement because things did get a little predictable under Paul Tisdale at times. Mm. And Matt Taylor has sort of, whether it's a subconscious thing or whether he knows what he's doing, he does seem to be coming out with the right sort of sound bites for the fans, you know, talking about playing attacking football, which was a criticism of Tisdale, as people did feel he was a bit too negative at times. And, you know, he just seems to have addressed certain issues that the fans have wanted to see change for the last couple of years, really.
I think it's refreshing to hear someone say, you know, it's easy for me to say this when there's no pressure. It's nice for a manager to hear a manager say that rather than and be honest about things. And now whether that will continue when there is pressure on, who knows. But the fact he's saying all these things, I think if you're a fan of a club, you want your manager to be honest, really, don't you? And you want to be able to believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
And absolutely. That certainly seems to have been the case so far.
Yeah, and in a way, sometimes you didn't quite get that with Tisdale. He didn't really mention, you know, he wouldn't really, I don't know, mention the fans too often. He'd be all about the players and himself.
Certainly in the last 2 years, after he was served notice of his contract, there's very little referral to the fans at all.
Yeah.
So,
but certainly in the last few weeks, the contrast for me, I don't know about, you know, everyone else, the week or two after the playoff final defeat, you know, you lost at Wembley again for the second year in a row. Tisdale leaves, then you've got more Taylor leaving, Story leaving. Just don't know what's going to happen, you know.
It's quite amazing the turnaround then, that there is so much positivity after all that, absolutely. Which was relatively a short time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then he brings, you know, Taylor comes in and brings all, you know, all of these signings, all looking promising ones as well, and a good pre-season, and suddenly, as Shu said, there's this optimism now, which wasn't expected, but after, you know, Tisdale being the longest serving manager, you know, you just didn't know what was going to happen, you know. And but yeah, there's certainly a lot of excitement going into Saturday now.
I do look at it though, and I look at the squad of the last 2 years, and I do question whether the club's actually underachieved. You know, when you think 2 years ago when we had Wheeler, Watkins, Joel Grant, you know, just scoring goals for fun, we really should have gone up automatically. Although we had the issues with the defenders being injured at the start of the season, and then last year as well. You know, perhaps we should have done better than what we did and got one of those automatic promotion places again.
So on paper, how are you comparing this team to ones of the last few years then?
I think from an attacking perspective, it's stronger this season than last year. Whether it's as strong as when we have Wheeler, Ruben Reid and Ollie Watkins, I'm not so sure.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
I mean, you said, Stu, you didn't think the team would be too different from the Bristol Rovers game
to
this weekend. What do you think, Jamie? What sort of team would you like to see start the game?
Yeah, I think there's a few names that will certainly be on the team sheet: Pym, Stockley, Boateng, Taylor, Brown, Martin probably.
Do you think he'll start? Lee Martin?
Aaron Martin.
Oh, Aaron Martin,
yeah.
Sorry.
I got him. Two Martins. Two Martins.
How do you remember that?
But yeah, I think looking at the team at Bristol Rovers, it's probably the strongest one that Taylor's perhaps got available at the moment. So yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised not to see it. Obviously, we don't know about Jonathan Fort yet, the extent of that injury, but as we said, you know, you've got Jay and Abrahams in, so any one of them to start with Stockland would be good. I don't know about formation wise, but
I was thinking it'd be a 4-4-2, yeah.
Old fashioned, nothing wrong with that.
It seems very rare in this day and age, a 4-4-2, you know. Yeah. You see so many just lone strikers these days, don't you? It's always against the grain now.
I'm pleased with it, because I always think Stockley plays better when he's got someone up front alongside him.
But we often see it with a lone striker that's quite physical, just getting wrapped up in the defence, and they can't really thrive, can they? So.
No.
But Stu, what should the expectation be this season? Obviously, you've had 2 years of defeat nearly. Should you be aiming for that sort of thing again, or do you think it's stability? What's the aim this year?
I think because of the changes on the coaching side, there will be stability. And speaking to Matt, I mean, you were there when we did the podcast, Jack, and he said, you know, let's just get to safety first, or get to Christmas and reassess our position then and our expectations for the rest of the season. So I just think it's that typical case of getting to 50 points as quickly as you can, and then sort of taking the season from there, really.
And Jamie, do you think fans will be happy with that, or will a majority of fans be hoping for playoffs again after two?
Yeah, I think after getting to two finals in a row, there's always the talk of, you know, next year go one better. But there is that uncertainty, I suppose. We don't know what to expect with Matt Taylor. But
I think it's the fact that Matt's not even been a manager before. You know, he's only ever been a coach, so we've got no idea of what he's like as a manager. So you know, it really is going into the unknown, isn't it?
So what would you say, so what is a successful season then for you for Exeter this season?
A top half, I think, this season.
I mean top 10, but I wouldn't put it past them to get the top 7.
Yeah, no, I think the team is well capable of being top 7, making the playoffs at the very least, but as I say, because of the fact there's these changes, you just don't know how it's going to go. But no, there's no reason why they can't have another crack at promotion.
I mean, the signings they seem to have made so far is a good mix of youngsters, and you've got Lee Martin and Fort, who've got the experience. I mean, you know, one of our colleagues is a Gillingham fan, and he said that Lee Martin basically kept them up last season. You know, that must be a pleasing signing to come in after the other ones that have already arrived.
Well, again, you know, Lee Holmes missed so much of last season, and he's a big loss. You know, he's a quality player, so to have someone like Lee Martin coming in and putting pressure on Holmes for that left wing role is, you know, it can only help the club, really.
So that was lacking last season, weren't we?
Yeah,
had sort of great Whitman and sometimes Moxie in the wing. No pace.
No. I mean, Moxie, that was the thing at Wembley, wasn't it? With Whitman and Moxie down that left hand side, it just didn't work at all.
But again, the proof's in the pudding, but so far, the balance of experience and promising youngsters seems to be quite good so far. But I mean, again, where do you think they need to strengthen now? Obviously, you said Matt Taylor hopes to bring in a centre back. Is that the only position that he's strengthening?
I'd like to see a centre-back come in. I mean, there's a question mark over Jimmy Oates, really, because we've only seen a couple of games in pre-season. He's not been tested at all at Football League level. I'd like to see a quick winger come in. I'd love to see Carl Edwards come back, to be honest, but whether that happens or not.
From all accounts, he's done really well with West Brom pre-season. Yeah. He could, now they're in the Championship, could well be around their first team.
Yeah. But Taylor did also say, as well as centre-back, he does want another attacker, I think, someone like we said before, who, you know, can take players on, because didn't really see that too much last season. He had Carl Edwards, but he didn't really play an awful lot. He didn't start many games. Obviously, Holmes was injured, and as we say, you know, he had Moxie, who just can't do it anymore, unfortunately. He's sort of taking players on. I think he's definitely a left-back now.
I actually thought he played better at centre-back last season as well.
Duncan Edwards might be one of those players that tries to stick around West Brom the first half of the season. Come January, he might not get as many games as he wanted, and he might go out then. And captain, any update? Has the captain been decided?
Yeah, Jake Taylor. That's all been...
Happy with that?
Yeah, very much so. I like Jake. I think he's a nice lad. He's a proper club man, isn't he, really? He's been at City for a while now. Came on 9 years ago as well.
Yeah, he's liked amongst, you know, the press and the fans. We said before, I thought it might have been sort of Dean Moxie. You know, he's got the experience. You know, he's a fan favourite, a club hero, but more than happy for Jake Taylor, and obviously Jamie Stockley as vice captain, which was a little surprise, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, it was, but then by all accounts, Jaden went to Matt and said he'd like to be captain, so he obviously wants that responsibility. Yeah. So if he wants it, and he obviously impressed Matt enough in pre season to warrant being vice captain, so I quite like that in a player. If they go up to the manager and say, "No, I want to be a leader,"
absolutely.
Can't be bad, can it?
It says a lot about the character of a person.
Exactly,
it?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if we're all still optimistic this time next week. Like I said, all back to the grind, back to playing for points. I think we're all a bit excited for the season start. I think fans up and down the country are probably waiting for this weekend since the World Cup's finished. So thanks for joining.
I think that's the thing, off the back of a World Cup as well, where England have done well, everyone just wants to see their team play again now.
Yeah, especially with the new signings. And like you said, because they've been on away from St James Park all pre-season, it'll be good for some of the fans to see them.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, Carlisle will be arriving on Saturday, but thanks for joining me both this morning, and we'll be back next week looking back on what transpired against Carlisle.
4-0.